Ukraine held parliamentary elections on Sunday, and exit polling shows pro-Western parties won a solid majority.
But there were no elections in Crimea. That's because Russia seized the peninsula from Ukraine this spring.
Over the protests of much of the world, Russia forcibly declared a change in the borders of Europe. Western nations still reject this move, but that has not stopped Russia from consolidating control over what was once part of its empire and is now again.
In the coming days, our colleague David Green takes us to Crimea. He begins right at the place where Russia drew a new line on the map.
Crimea is a peninsula that stretches out into the Black Sea. It's about the size of Vermont, and up in the far north, there's this two-lane road. It cuts through flat farmland until it's suddenly interrupted by a checkpoint.
I'm looking over at a border that, as of just 7 or 8 months ago, wasn't a border. There are some white structures there. I'm about 100 yards away from where you would cross north into Ukraine. This is where cars are being checked out of Russia.
This border, it's a physical reminder of the new divide between Russia and the West.
There's a military vehicle with a guy in camouflage holding a gun on his right side.
And just then, he wanders over to us with his Kalashnikov rifle on a shoulder strap pointed towards the ground. He sees our producer, Lauren Magaki, still has her recorder going, and he makes it clear to our interpreter that he doesn't like it. He wants it off.
Yes.
We turn off the recorder, but that's not enough. Another guy in military fatigues comes over and says we broke the law as foreigners being so close to a Russian border. He takes our passports, leaving us just to wait.
So there we were. We were kind of helpless, couldn't go anywhere since we didn't have our passports, and stood outside our vehicle for, you know, an hour or so. This one guy in a uniform, not sure what it was. It was sort of mismatched, the kind of thing you might buy at an army supply store. He said he was something in between the FSB, which is the modern-day KGB, and the Russian Border Patrol.
Either he didn't want us to know what Russian agency he works for, or he's not entirely sure himself. He didn't seem like the most powerful guy, though his gun said he was. All this was our personal reminder that Russia is in control. It is a country that loves to intimidate and doesn't always embrace Western values, such as, say, a free press. And all across Crimea, signs of Russian power and influence have arrived. Ukrainian flags that were flying atop government buildings, gone. They've been replaced by Russian flags. Menus in restaurants have been reprinted with prices in rubles. New labels have been put on wine bottles, even older vintages, saying the wine is from Crimea, Russia. And there is this wall, perhaps a mile or so long, that runs alongside the road from Crimea's main airport. There are murals there painted by schoolchildren who were assigned a theme. We love Russia.
There are outlines of the Crimean Peninsula painted in the colors of the Russian flag and scenes from different Crimean cities. But other people have come and painted over the children's work. There's one section here where there's an outline of Crimea. It says Russia across it for Russia, and it's in the colors of the Russian flag. But someone took a section and painted over it, painted a heart over it in the Ukrainian colors, blue and yellow.
So there is resistance to Russia's takeover here, and we'll hear some of those voices later. But most Crimeans are elated that Russia is in control. And what Russia has going for it is a very deep history, which you can feel in this harbor.
Welcome to Sevastopol. We are starting our excursion to Sevastopol Bay.
The city of Sevastopol has this vast harbor that opens up onto the Black Sea. Ships can travel south from here to Turkey and then through a waterway, the Bosphorus, out to the Mediterranean, and from there, anywhere, which explains why Russia has for centuries anchored its Black Sea naval fleet here. For the past few decades, the Russians sort of rented space and shared the harbor with Ukraine's navy. But now our tour guide tells us Russia is taking all the spoils.
This submarine used to belong to Ukraine. And now it became Russian. You can see a white flag with a blue cross. It proves it belongs to Russia now.
This place is dripping with history and pride. The Soviet Navy liberated this city from the Nazis, and then through the Cold War, this was a base for Soviet subs that spied on the United States. I remember as a kid imagining those Soviet subs out there lurking in the oceans. My image was Sean Connery as commander, like in the movie The Hunt for Red October.
The turn, Captain.
Not sure.
So how could we pass up the chance to meet the real thing? We take a taxi up a hill from the harbor. The driver is blaring his Soviet tunes. We're heading to the home of Valentin Danilov, former executive officer on a Soviet sub. And as we turn a corner and come down a street, a figure comes into view. It's Danilov in full uniform from the old Soviet glory days.
David Green, nice to meet you. Очень приятно.
Vaslovna, hello and goodbye.
Danilov, who's now 83 years old, got himself ready for our visit.
He's been studying English all night long.
Wow, thank you. And your uniform is beautiful.
A navy cap trimmed with gold and a submarine pin on his chest. During the 23 years after the Soviet collapse, he got some dirty looks wearing this uniform. Those looks disappeared after Russia took over.
I spent all my life wearing uniform, and you know, you feel more secure when you see guys in uniform just walking down the street, and women love it.
The most important woman in Danilov's life was married to him for 60 years. She died a few months ago. He walks us into the apartment where he lived with her. He apologizes for the mess. I'm a bachelor now, he tells us. He says he's so happy his wife lived long enough to get her wish for Crimea to be back with Russia.
Back in March, she was in the hospital. Her condition was very severe, very bad. And when she heard about this great news, it gave her power and energy to live like a couple of months more.
Before we leave, Danilov utters a Russian phrase that is either inviting or terrifying, depending on your mood. Napasashuk, one for the road. We say yes, and the former Soviet executive officer brings out his homemade whiskey, along with pickles and sala, which is sliced pork fat.
Настоящий русский.
Right, original Russian.
Thank you.
You know where this goes.
Thank you.
Older Crimeans like Danilov feel like they've lived in three different countries. The Soviet Union, Ukraine, now Russia, all within 25 years. They haven't actually moved anywhere. But they say they have returned home.